This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from the Guardian Spring Training Complex in Goodyear, Arizona, where we head deeper into spring training, a week's worth of games in the books. And now we're starting to get into that pocket of spring training where your regulars in the starting rotation are getting their first appearances out of the way. We saw Gavin Williams throw on Thursday against the Angels over in Tempe. And Williams with two impressive innings. Shane Bieber will take the mound today. If you're listening to this on Saturday when it airs on the Guardians Radio Network, Bieber will face the Royals in a radio game at 3:05 from right here in Goodyear. And then tomorrow, Sunday, Tanner Bibee makes his spring debut on the mound in game action. All of these guys, they've been throwing live bullpen, some sim games, things like that to get ready, but no need for game action just yet, but now they get into that here as we head into the second week of games here in the Cactus League. Coming up a little bit later on in our show today, we will hear from Guardians hitting coach Chris Valleca as he tries to help hitters unlock a little bit more power and some of the things that they're doing to facilitate that. We will also visit with utility man David Fry, who really came on and provided some value a year ago at so many different positions, including on the mound with some impressive pitching performances. We will check in with one of the younger players on the roster, at least in spring training, trying to make this club as a potential power source in the outfield. That's Esteban Florial, who was acquired in an offseason deal with the New York Yankees. But first up on our show this week, it is Tristan McKenzie. McKenzie coming off a year where he spent most of the season on the injured list. He was progressing nicely in spring training, tracking as he normally would toward a spot in the starting rotation. But in his last start of the spring, felt some soreness in his shoulder. So he was taken off the roster and spent the early portions of the season on the injured list. And then when he came back, just a couple of appearances, and he had some elbow issues after that. So in total a year ago, McKenzie only 4 appearances for the Guardians, and that was after a real breakthrough season in 2022 when he won 11 games. His ERA was under 3, pitched 191 innings. I mean, he was a big key to the Guardians' success back in 2022 when they made the postseason. When we caught up with him earlier this spring, we asked him how things are going so far this spring and where he is in terms of his buildup toward the season.
I mean, it's I guess it's a little slower, but I think the goal is to make it out of spring training and make it to season. It's not necessarily a case of me making the team or me trying to come out here to prove something. It's more about me making sure that I'm healthy throughout the spring training process and being able to contribute to the team during the games that mean something.
And you had a chance to get back on the big league mound at the end of last season. How did that help you with your off-season programs, everything you're trying to do to get ready and be ready?
Yeah, I mean, I think being able to throw at the end of the year gave me a lot of clarity going into the off-season. It just eased my mind, one, knowing that I wasn't hurt or I could go into a rehab style of offseason without feeling that I was doing a full rehab and coming back from an injury. I was able to go out there and pitch in games and feel healthy and then go into the offseason and really just work on some strength things, work on some mechanical things just to be ready for right now and to be ready for season.
Anything different from what you normally do in the winter time, or was it pretty much the same that you're used to?
Yeah, I mean, the offseason itself was pretty similar to what I would normally do. I mean, there was a little bit more like back and forth in terms of contact with the team about how I was feeling and just what the offseason program looked like. But outside of that, it was very status quo.
You mentioned some mechanical adjustments, things that you might look at. What is it that you do look at in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, so I think a big thing is in terms of arm health is being able to use your legs. So just kind of looking at my delivery and figuring out ways to maybe lessen the load on my shoulder and my elbow a little bit and driving some of that down the chain and maybe being able to pick that up with my legs a little bit. And I think my delivery is in a really good spot. I think it was good before, but you're always tweaking, you're always tinkering, trying to make it a little bit better, and it feels probably the best it's ever felt right now.
Hard to do that when you're used to maybe doing it a different way, maybe not a completely different way, but just some subtle adjustments?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to make adjustments in your delivery when you're competing. Middle of season adjustments are hard because you're looking for results as well as trying to get your work in. I think being able to kind of sit out and then head into an off season where we're able to kind of break down the mechanics a little bit and really get into the nitty-gritty of what we're doing on the mound. Definitely helped me as opposed to trying to make mechanical adjustments in season. You get sore. There's different things.
Tristan McKenzie joining us as the Guardians open spring training. And how different is it around here? First time in your career where there's a new manager in Stephen Vogt. And how has camp been? What have you noticed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the energy's been great since day one for me. A lot of guys showed up early, which you don't necessarily see. I think you see a lot of guys. You may see half the guys show up early, and then the other guys show up on report date. I think every player was out here before the official report date, the 18th. So that was really good to see. I think Vogt's been doing a really good job of just keeping the guys engaged. Being able to interact with not just the veteran players, but interact with some of the younger guys and make them feel involved. It feels like a very team effort. Sounds kind of cliche to say, but we're definitely a family now.
It sounds like a common theme that for the players who were here last year, disappointment and kind of just the season didn't go the way everyone wanted. And what's that feeling coming in here when you have a year like that?
I mean, I think a lot of the guys are coming in thinking the only way is up. I think a lot of guys were disappointed in how the season ended for us, more just because they knew that we weren't playing our best baseball. And I think coming into the offseason and then coming into spring training, guys are looking to put their best foot forward and really change that narrative from last year and really come out with some new energy and really do well this year.
You've been in the game a while. You like this time of year, spring training?
Yeah. I mean, there's a different kind of energy around this time of year. As well as like the beginning of the season. I think everybody's kind of happy to go home at a certain point in the off season, but I think once January hits and you can smell baseball around the corner, there's nothing like it.
Boy, what a key it would be if Tristan McKenzie is full on ready to go and throwing well when the season begins for the starting rotation and the Guardians as a whole. Stay with us when we come back. We'll hear from young outfielder Esteban Florial, new to the organization this year, and we'll talk to him about that when we return after this on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Tristan McKenzie has blanked Tampa on one hit, has struck out seven, and has walked one. The pitch. A swing and a miss. Fastball in. 93 miles an hour, and McKenzie has really held his velo today. And we always talk so much about Tristan McKenzie working up at the top of the zone with a fastball. That time, he buried that fastball. That had that running action in on the right-handed hitter, almost like a two-seamer. Down the set. Now the 0-2 delivery. Curveball got him swinging. So Margot strikes out, and McKenzie strikes out the side. Tom Seaver holds the Major League record. He struck out 10 Padres in a row in 1970. Now the payoff pitch. Strike three called. Curveball and a new club record. 8 consecutive strikeouts for Tristan McKenzie. A curveball got Jake Lamb looking. And Corey Kluber has been pushed out of the record books by the 23-year-old right-hander Tristan McKenzie, who has struck out 10 today, including the last 8 White Sox.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
2 seconds left on the clock, third field goal range, and it looks like he's going to go with a 5-iron. No, wait. The quarterback is skating back on the ice. He's talking with his caddy. They're pulling the goalie. He skates off the fairway as the kicker lines off his putt. It's a breakaway. They've bundled their home and auto insurance with Progressive. Touchdown savings, birdie goal.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Goodyear, Arizona, and the Guardians Spring Training Complex. Guardians getting ready to take on the Kansas City Royals on Saturday afternoon, a radio game that begins with a first pitch of 3:05. Shane Bieber making his debut on Saturday against Kansas City. Tanner Bibee will face the Giants tomorrow, also here in Goodyear, and another game that we'll have on the radio for you, again with a 3:05 first pitch. A lot of battles in the outfield trying to make this ball club. Several young potential power bats, including Esteban Florial, new to the organization, acquired from the Yankees just before the new year in exchange for young pitcher Cody Morris. Florial has been in the Yankees organization since 2015, but he is still only 26 years of age. He's shown some power, especially in recent seasons, with more than 100 minor league home runs during his pro career in the Yankees system. He also has seen some sporadic time in the major leagues, but nothing to the extent where he could really get going at the major league level. Last year did damage at AAA Scranton-Wilkes-Barre with 28 home runs and 79 runs driven in. We had a chance to visit with Florial earlier this spring, and he talked about how it's going with a new and at times unfamiliar organization to him.
It's fun. I would say challenging, because, I mean, you come here like with a lot of expectation and new people you have to meet. But so far, it's challenging. But at the end, overall, I mean, the team have made it easy for me, because the transition have been like very smooth, and I really love it here so far.
You had a couple of opportunities the last several years at the big league level with the Yankees. When you heard of the trade, were you surprised? And if so, how come, and what was your reaction?
I wasn't surprised, because, I mean, back then there was been a lot of trade, I mean, in the offseason. And I said, I mean, something's going to happen, because so many outfielders, there's not a lot of opportunity, like, to be. I mean, just 3 can play, or 1 in the bench. There was, like, a bunch of them. And I said, I mean, something was going to happen, but when they call me, like, they say, like, get trade. I mean, I look forward to like, new opportunity, to the new chapter. Here we are.
Big power numbers a year ago. What are you working on to try and make that last step and make it consistent to stay up here?
I'm trying to stick with the same thing I did last year. So try to, have the same routine I had last year, or just tweak a couple of things to get better at it. But for me, it's kind of just to stick with the thing I did last year. I know there's a lot of things like I have to get better at yet, but mainly just stay to it.
Did something click in for you that was really successful that maybe was different from years past?
I would say yes. I would say, like, for me, I was trying to be like earlier than I usually like when I start hitting. I just wanted to be earlier and try to do less. So try to just put the ball in play, and when we do that, a lot of things can happen.
How about defensively? I know the manager, Stephen Vogt, has already mentioned a really good arm in the outfield. And is there a spot you prefer, be it a corner or in center?
Honestly, I mean, I have played more center field than anything. If I had to choose one of them, I would rather stay there because, I mean, I like to be, like, in the center field. But overall, like, I have played, like, right field and left field. I feel comfortable with those positions too. At the end, it's kind of like try to help the team. Try to, doesn't matter where they put you, right, left, or center field, like, try to do your job and try to give the team the best chance you can to win a ballgame.
Born and raised in the Dominican Republic, and yet your English, as our listeners can clearly understand, it's tremendous. Tell us about that path. How did you learn it so well, and how long did it take you to really feel comfortable with it?
I mean, I keep having challenge with it yet because there's a lot of things I don't know yet. But like I said, like I studied before I signed. When I came here to United States, I get better at it. But every day, like I keep learning and I keep improving.
Do you try and talk with a lot of the English-speaking players, or does it matter if you're around the Latin-speaking players more or less?
I'll say, like, absolutely. I mean, at the end, I mean, most of the culture speak English, so and you want to be able to even talk with the coaches or with the media too, because I mean, if you in Spanish and English, but I, you're in the United States. At the end, you have to learn the language. And it's going to help you a lot. Have been helping me a lot. So,
and your third language is Creole. Anybody on these teams speak that?
I don't know yet. I haven't found out. Actually, it's the second one because, I mean, I wouldn't say the second one because Creole and Spanish, I learned them at the same time, I would say. But if I would say the second one, I would say Creole, yeah. But overall, I don't know if anyone here know, but yeah.
Hey, before we let you go, new team for you. What have you seen so far that has you excited that if you make this club, it could be a contending ball club in the division?
I mean, obviously, it's like, yeah, I own ball club. I mean, the talent is huge here. I mean, they're hungry to win a ball game and to win a championship. They want to win here. So everybody they bring is like for a purpose. And it's, at the end, it's kind of like, they want us to be a complete ballpark, complete team, to go out there to win a ballgame. I feel like we have a lot of young talent here, and kind of like have a good potential to win a championship.
And Esteban Floreal, and it'll be interesting to see how long a look Floreal gets, along with Jonathan Rodriguez and John Kenzie Noel, all outfielders, and also working out there. Is the Rule 5 draft selection from the Diamondbacks, 20-year-old Davison De Los Santos. He's also in that mix. And again, they all have that similar profile, a lot of power, some home run numbers in the minor leagues, but also some strikeouts. So we'll see what the balance is and if any of them can crack the roster come opening day. Well, we'll take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll hear from hitting coach Chris Valleca. That's next as we continue with Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Goodyear, Arizona, Guardians Spring Training, as we welcome you back into Guardians Weekly prior to the Guardians game against the Kansas City Royals on this Saturday afternoon. If you're tuned in on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network, that's just one of the ways you can hear our show each week. You can also pick it up in podcast form. It usually hits later in the day on Saturday or Sunday, and that's wherever you download your favorite podcast. Well, Chris Valleca is starting his third season as the Guardians hitting coach. The last two seasons, the Guardians have been one of the best contact hitting teams in all of baseball, as last year they struck out fewer times than any team in baseball, but the flip side was, power-wise, they hit the fewest home runs of any team in baseball. So they're trying to find that balance, that happy medium. And when we caught up with Chris earlier this week, he talked about what they're trying to do to see if they can't unlock a little bit more power from some current members of the roster.
Yeah, you know, I think over the last couple of years, kind of the hallmark of our offense has been, you know, we're tough to strike out. We have a contact focus, contact first type offense. I think going into the last 2 years, seeing the success that we had in 22, and then going to 23 with a very similar profile when we finished the year, I think it just exposed some of our margins that, you know, there is a need for us to impact the ball a little bit more frequently. You know, a pretty big difference winning 92 games to 70, 76, 78 games that we won. So I think, you know, the big emphasis this year for us going into camp was looking to impact the ball, take more chances. We're going to challenge their timing a little bit more. We know we can always default back to contact, that we have to ramp up some of that intent. And if there is some concession and some swing and miss, we're okay living with that, because we know we're not going to fall from the top to the bottom when it comes to making contact.
Is that just the nature of this game? Even if you have similar talent, you got to somehow figure out a way to stay ahead of it?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the hallmark of being a big leaguer. You know, you see these guys have long-time careers. They might not have been the same player that they were, you know, when they were a rookie to when they finished their career as a veteran. But they found a way to evolve. They found a way to get better. They found a way to survive. So, you know, I wouldn't say we're changing, you know, too much. I think we're just trying to use the engines that we have. You know, I think our guys all belong in the big leagues now. It's not the happy to be here. It's not the survival of last year. It's these guys know what to do. They know what the big leagues look like. So trying to unlock a little bit more of the potential that we know these guys have.
Two examples, just players I've talked to, and there's many others, but Stephen Kwan, Will Brennan. Not necessarily home run hitters, but could hit more home runs if their approach is adjusted a little bit. What do you try and do with them that helps them launch the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, you know, both of those guys went into the winter with some bat speed programs. You know, not that they didn't have enough, but we felt like that was an area that both of them could improve in. You know, so I think also being realistic with those guys, it's not like we're going to see a Stephen Kwan or Will Brennan go from, you know, 10 home run to 40 home runs. I think that's unrealistic and unfair to them. But I do think that those guys can hit, you know, 10 to 15. And, you know, we add those to the rest of our lineup, hitting in front of Hosey with that, the ability that Hosey has, Nails has, Laureano hitting behind them, that, you know, I think that just stretches out our lineup, makes us a little bit, you know, potent when it comes to, we turn the lineup over, that Straw can hurt you, Brennan can hurt you. There's always somebody that can change a game throughout the lineup, not just waiting for some of the smaller pockets in our lineup.
Hitting coach Chris Valleca joining us. Your job's year-round now. I know you like to have a break, I'm sure, but with Miles Straw, explain that personal touch that you had with him in the offseason and how deep that goes to try and get him on a good path.
Yeah. So Miles, obviously, you know, having him the last 2 years, this year he came to Columbus. I live in Columbus, Ohio now, and his wife, his little girl, they came to stay with us in Columbus. We spent a couple days together, you know, not just hitting, but just, you know, being together, which I thought was really impactful, just to hear him, hear where his head's at, you know, and seeing him kind of run with the adjustments we've made. You know, he really took to heart when he went back to Florida, got himself a personal trainer, came in 10 pounds heavier, just looks physical. I think he's hitting the ball a lot harder. So, you know, you see the confidence he has, and, you know, I think we're going to get the best version of Miles Straw than we've seen, you know, the last couple years.
These young guys, you have some big men in camp who are trying to make that last step. John Kenzie Noel, Jonathan Rodriguez, some others too, Davison De Los Santos over from Arizona. How do you work with guys who have the higher strikeout rates but a ton of power?
Yeah, you know, it's a balance. You know, I think everybody's going to have a different profile, and we wouldn't be a very good team if we all had just contact or we all just had home runs and swing and miss. I think you can get pitched to pretty easily like that. So, you know, it's just talking to them. It's being realistic with expectations. It's knowing their profiles and embracing it. There might be some swing and miss, but there's some change the game power in those bats as well. So, you know, I think as we get into it, it's really leaning in with them, seeing which guys make us better when we leave here with the best 26 guys that we can bring to Cleveland, you know, and hopefully a couple of those guys are on it with us.
Always nice to have one of the best hitters in the game in Jose Ramirez. Having been around him closely now for a couple of seasons, what is it that makes him as good as he is?
I mean, he's just the ultimate professional. It's not about how, you know, we see him hitting his 30 home runs every year, driving in 100 runs. It's how he runs the bases. It's how he plays defense. It's his presence in the clubhouse. You know, he's a guy for us that, you know, we use as a player coach. You know, he can get a message across to these guys that, you know, we might not be able to say. He can say it in two words because it comes from one of the best players in the league. You know, for Hosey, it's funny, you know, you bring up guys evolving. We're seeing Hosey hit more machines. He's challenging himself just as much as we're challenging these younger guys. So seeing him lean into the training, you know, I think he knows where he's at. And, you know, he wants us to win. He wants us to be great. And if he can lead by example and now some of his words, you know, I think we're going to be in a really special spot starting this season.
There's almost 90 players in camp. I know they're not all hitters. But how do you keep them straight?
There's a lot of guys, you know, that's part of the gig, though. You know, you got to know, you got to have some background on these guys, especially when the minor league guys come over from camp and play in the games, too. You know, you got to have some background. It's unfair to them for you not to know them. But, you know, coach them hard. That's been a thing that we've talked about this winter. We got to coach them hard. It's something that, you know, where we're at organizationally, we got to see who we have. We got a lot of young guys on the roster. We got to see who's going to come and impact us. So, you know, we'll see where we're at when we leave here at the end of March. But, you know, I'm really excited to see, you know, what these guys can do.
Chris, enjoy the spring. Thanks.
You got it, Rosie. My pleasure.
That's Chris Villega, Guardians hitting coach, talking about some of the keys this season to producing some more runs. That's the bottom line, right? Well, no matter how you do it, you want to score as many runs as possible. And that's what Cleveland's trying to get done here in spring training, see if those adjustments take hold and they can carry that through into the regular season. Well, we're starting to wind down on our show this week. Stay with us. We'll hear from David Fry when we come back. Utility man for the Guardians. That's coming your way next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
It's 40 love here in the third set.
And there's the bell. She's coming off the bench hot, looking for a quick knockdown. But wait, she's driving to the hoop. Oh, down goes the champ.
Now that's another double fault. She'll be shooting too. The serve is up. And here comes the left hook.
She's bundled her home and auto insurance with Progressive. Swish, ace, savings, TKO.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Pitch. Fry with a line drive to left. Rosario going back toward the line. He can't make the catch. Base hit. Game winner. Into scores. Rosario. David Fry being mobbed at second base. A walk-off. Two out. RBI single to left by David Fry. The pitch. Swing and a little blooper into center field. Charging hard as Straw. He'll make the catch. Tagging coming home, Hilliard. Throw to the plate on the fly. Tag is made by a diver.
diving fry. They did it. What a great throw by Straw on the fly to the plate. And a diving tag by catcher David Fry. It doesn't get any better than that. Wow. Middle infielders back, double play depth. Cornerman playing even with the bags. The pitch. Swung on, hit pretty well. Deep left center. On the run as Mullins is off the wall. Tying run scores in Jimenez. Hitting third, Brennan. He's coming home. He'll score the game winner. A walk-off two-run double off the base of the wall in left center by David Fry. Incredible.
Welcome back to Goodyear, Arizona. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Guardian Spring Training at the Goodyear Complex. And we had a chance to visit with David Fry earlier this spring. Fry made a nice breakthrough first time in the major leagues a season ago, appearing in 58 games for Cleveland. Had four homers, 15 runs driven in, playing a variety of positions, including first base, third base, the outfield, catcher, and he also saw two games on the mound. In fact, he had a four-inning relief outing in early September against the Twins. That was the longest by a Cleveland position player since 1936, and the longest appearance by a position player in the major leagues since 1988, when Jose Oquendo for the Cardinals pitched four innings against the Braves. And that was quite a night for Fry. But at least this spring, they're starting him working behind the plate exclusively, trying to get him up to speed and become the best possible defensive catcher he can be. David Fry, a hard-nosed player who really embraces that utility role. And last year, he was in Major League camp for the first time, didn't make the club out of spring training, went to Columbus, swung the bat well, and then got that call-up fairly early on. But he said, in terms of spring training, what a difference a year makes.
Yeah, last year being first big league camp, kind of first time around big league coaches and some of the guys on the big league roster, just kind of trying to stay out of people's way. And then this year, getting to play with those guys and being around the big league staff a little more comfortable and definitely more relaxed feel this year.
And the time in the major leagues last year, what did that say to you about your ability and your status as someone who can play up here and have success up here?
Yeah, obviously big leagues is something you kind of think about your entire life, and you make it this big, huge deal, and you get there and you're like, it's just baseball in a bigger stadium. And obviously guys are very, very good at that level, but I feel like as I got more comfortable and just, you know, like, hey, I'm going to have fun playing baseball, I was like, I can stick around here, hopefully.
You had a lot of good things happen to you, too, at the major league level a year ago. Is there any one of them that stands out of that most unique or most satisfying to you?
I don't know. I wouldn't say there's one that was, like, way more satisfying than the other. I was just really lucky enough to – I mean, that was kind of my role. I was coming in a late situation, so I got to, like, be in some really big spots, so like plays at the plate and big at-bats and stuff. So there was a whole lot of fun stuff.
David Fry's joining us, and we usually like to – tag a position on there when we talk about players, but for you that's hard to do, but in a good way. And as you head into camp this year, versatility wise what are you going to focus on first and foremost as you get deeper into the spring?
Yeah, focusing on the catching stuff the spring training and kind of doing most of my work back there, and then still continuing to try to get reps everywhere. I've already had conversations with Hedgie. He's talked to me about his ERA being better than mine, so maybe I need to work better on my pitching, but hopefully won't have to do that much.
Yeah, and you look at that, and he's as good as it gets in terms of a defensive catcher. And I know by some standards you're still very young to the catching game. And what can you pick up from someone like that, maybe even more so than from a coach because they're in there and living it right now?
Right. I mean, so much. I mean, because he pretty much is a coach. I mean, he's so invested in the catching position that, like, every rep that every other catcher is getting in camp, he's staring at you, and he's not critiquing you, but he's wanting to make you the best player you can be. And so already the conversations that we've had about catching and calling a game and all that's been so helpful. And obviously the way he does it, he does it at a very high level.
All right, off-season preparation. Obviously everyone's trying to be in the best shape they can be coming into camp. But you had as unique an offseason as you will ever have, being a dad for the first time. For fans who may remember, it came at the end of last season, a daughter. How is it going, and how has that changed your life perspective-wise and everything else?
Yeah, it's been going great. She's the best. She sleeps well, and knock on wood, at least. And she's just been a really good baby. And I'll say, off-season training, you know, you're trying to get your workouts in. Best workout you can do is just hold the baby for a couple hours in a row, and your arms are shaking, that's for sure.
Michael Brantley used to call it daddy strength, and there was something to that for sure. You're in a unique situation where you live down in Texas in the Dallas area. It sounds like it's a great spot to be in the wintertime for a lot of reasons. Explain that.
Yeah, so obviously, at least beginning of the off season, warmer weather, so you can get to do stuff outside. And just kind of where we live, it's just a huge hub for baseball players. That's where a lot of guys live. And got to hit with Will Brennan in the offseason, a bunch of other players. And there's so many guys who throw down there pretty much full year round. And have so many buddies around the league now that just text and say, hey, you need me to catch a bullpen, and go just pretty much whenever.
And as you get here to camp, you look around that clubhouse, and certainly this team is looking to improve on a year ago. What are you seeing early on that has you excited about the season to come?
Yeah, obviously it's still super early, guys. Now we have everybody officially in here, but just the energy and the atmosphere that we have in the clubhouse, I mean, it's just such a fun group to be around. And then just obviously from the catching side, getting to catch his bullpen, I mean, it's amazing the depth and how good we are as a pitching staff. I mean, there's a reason where we have so many one-run games. It's because our pitching staff keeps us in every single game. But, I mean, it just never stops. Our organization, they just do an amazing job of acquiring good pitching and then developing like crazy. And you just see some no-name guy that you've never heard of, and he comes over to the field, and you're like, this guy throws 97 to 98. What a shocker. Like, they got something figured out over here with the pitching side.
So everyone knows about Bieber, McKenzie, Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, all these guys. I know I'm forgetting somebody, but anybody, maybe a name to keep an eye on that we're not even thinking about that you caught early on in the spring?
Yeah, there's a bunch. We just added Cade Smith to the 40-man roster. He's come out here and looked really, really good. He's thrown really hard. He's got really good stuff. Gaddis, who's been up and down the last couple of years, he's come out, and me and Hedgie were talking about him the other day during his bullpen. I mean, it's been lights out so far in spring. He looks really good. We got a bunch of guys. We signed Beattie, who just came over. I think he was in Korea, and he looks really good. He made me look really bad in an at-bat about a week ago. But, yeah, no, we got a bunch of guys who will be really good.
So, last question, how many gloves in your locker? Different gloves based on the positions you play.
If you include the backup gloves that I have at positions, it'd be seven gloves. Yeah, plenty.
And they let you know before the day begins which one you might want to use that day?
Yeah, they're like, hey, maybe we'll give you a heads up today.
All right, David, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That is David Fry, utility man for the Guardians, coming off a real strong season a year ago. And again, it'll be a battle for him to see where he fits on this year's club, depending on what other things happen. But he's one of those players that I think every manager likes to have on his team because of the variety of positions that he can play. And he usually puts together a really good at-bat when he has a chance to play and even pinch hit in different scenarios. So great to visit with David. And thanks so much for the time from Tristan McKenzie, Estevan Florial, and Chris Valleca this week. Again, baseball on the radio on Saturday afternoon, a 3:05 first pitch against the Royals. Shane Bieber making his first start of the spring. And more baseball on the radio as well on Sunday afternoon with the Giants coming over here to Goodyear to take on the Guardians. Another 3:05 first pitch. And again, we'll have it for you on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network with Tanner Bibee on the mound making his first start of the spring as well in exhibition play for the Guardians. So until next week, for Brian Motze, who does great work to put together our show each week, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians. Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.